waymaker, Jesus. He's a waymaker, Jesus. He's a waymaker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. I know my Jesus is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way. Aren't you glad he did? Well, now one day the sun refused to shine. This sinful life of mine, I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then he heard, answered my prayer, answered right then and there. One day he made a way. Oh, let's sing it, church. I know my Jesus, he's a way maker. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Sing that chorus. I know my Jesus. He's a way maker, Jesus. He's a way maker, Jesus. He's a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way. Still in the way-making business. Don't give up on God. You may think you've gone the last step you can take. You've reached the last rung of the ladder that you can climb. But I'm going to tell you something. Hold on. Because Jesus is a way-maker. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? He is so much a way-maker that he has went away to prepare a mansion for you that's absolutely breathtaking. I've not seen it, but you know, Jesus was in this earth as a carpenter. Brother Jimmy and I were talking in the library just a few minutes ago. He came into this earth and he was a carpenter by trade. And you can see what he's made for us to enjoy while we're in this life. The beauty of this earth. There's places you go that take your breath away that you can't even describe it. That's nothing compared to what he's got waiting on us. Are you glad you're on your way home? Are you glad he's made a way for you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. I know my Jesus is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. I know our Jesus, he's a way maker, Jesus. He's a way maker, Jesus. He's a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was so dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Amen. Somebody say thank you, Lord. Oh, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of God tonight. We are We're going to have some church here tonight. I know they're having a great time in Bible school over at the Pavilion. I know they're probably suffering from the heat and this and that, but they're having a great time. And just to go over there and look at that place, somebody and everybody that was involved done a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. And we so appreciate that tonight. But we're here. They're there. Let's just pray the blessings of the Lord will fall both places tonight. Are you glad you're a Christian? Do you love the Lord better than everything in this world? Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you love them in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was so dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes tonight. While we look at our prayer request, Sister Bonnie Potter sends us in to please keep the Clark family in your prayers for an unspoken request. God knows the situation, and He is more than able to meet that need. So we just committed unto the Lord tonight. Want to pray for Brother Ed Yance. He is in the hospital. Certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just be with him. Also, Bob Blevins, my brother, is allergic to something, causing a lot of swelling. And he's just asking that the church would remember him in prayer tonight. Katie Phillips requests prayer for his wife, Lynn. She has cancer, and they give her no hope. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Frank Williams wants the church to continue to remember him in prayer for his eyes. The pressure has decreased some, but still not what the doctor wants. So let's pray for Brother Frank that the Lord would just give him complete healing in his body. God's able, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Sister Cheryl from Alberta, Canada, called and wanted to once again thank the church for praying for the 11 and 12-year-old girls, Haley, and the one who had the surgery on her ankle is doing much better. And Kaya, the one who had brain surgery, is progressing in her rehabilitation, and nothing short of a miracle has taken place in their lives. Sister Cheryl wanted everyone to know how much of a blessing it is to have people praying and how thankful to our Lord Jesus that each of them are. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Brandy Anthony. The doctors cannot find the problem that she has. The family requests that the body of Christ join in prayer for her, so that she can totally be delivered. So let's remember that young lady in prayer tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Jablonski's sister, Joanna, in Florida, asked that we would pray for a friend of hers who has a tumor in her stomach. It's the size of a grapefruit. They're asking that we would take that need to the Lord tonight. Sister Christine Baker says, please have prayer for my father. His condition has worsened. He has cancer, also collapsed lungs, plus other conditions. He's 81 years old. Most of all, pray for his salvation and for the saving of his soul. So let's remember that need tonight. The McFarlands says, please remember my friend from Ohio. She's going through a very serious family situation. The Lord knows all about that need. We just committed unto the Lord. Brother Amos Cutts says, please remember in prayer a sister in Canada who is having to make some major changes in her life, as well as her family. So the Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Jerry and Sister Deanna Glenn. They're traveling mercies. They're headed to Ohio.
And they're just asking that God would give them traveling mercy and good weather conditions in that part of the country. So let's remember them tonight. Sister Rachel Hamblin says that her brother Reuben is having a lot of pain in his shoulder and elbow, and ask if we would pray for him. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. And also, I believe Brother Jack Roberts has got vertigo, real sick tonight, needs healing in his body. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. And once again, let us mention our graduates. I think that we have four Bibles over in the library that still need to be picked up. And all you graduates, wherever you graduated from, college, high school, if you were homeschooled, whatever your situation, we just want you to know how proud we are of you as a group here at Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, and what your testimony means to us. Wherever you went to school and wherever you graduated from, God bless every one of you. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Are you glad you love the Lord tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jackie Benton, why don't you come tonight, if you would, lead us to the Lord. We certainly appreciate Brother Jackie. He don't get to be with us all the time, but when he's here, we sure love to use our brother. We appreciate him, don't we, with all of our heart. Sing you for us if you want to.
Join us in prayer tonight for these requests. Amen. Believe God. He's a prayer answering God. And he's on time. I believe that. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for such a privilege, Lord, that we have, that we can come and bring these requests, Lord, before you. Lord, we know tonight, Lord, hallelujah, that, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask you, dear God, that you would come. We know, Lord, you're the life giver. You, Lord, are the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes from you, Lord, tonight, Lord. And you, in that atonement, Lord, tonight, we ask you, dear God, hallelujah, tonight, Lord, to stretch forth your hand and bring deliverance, Lord, hallelujah, to the captive. Set, Lord, those that are, Lord, bound by sickness. I pray, Father, tonight we bring them before the throne of God and asking you, Lord Jesus, to bring healing. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, there's many, too many, Lord, for us to mention. But, oh God, I pray, Lord, that you'll come and meet every need, Lord. We bring them before you tonight. Lord, we know, Lord, we can ask, oh God, and we have not because we ask not. But we're asking you tonight, Father, to come forth, Lord, and bring deliverance, Lord, to the sick bodies, Lord. Ask you, dear God, for those that are sin sick, for deliverance for them, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, out there and Lord, listening in tonight, Lord, to the internet. God, many, Lord, needs, Father. May you minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Minister to every heart. Oh, God, you see, Lord, you know their needs. And we bring them before you tonight, Lord, and believe, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only name, the highest name, the sweetest name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And amen. And amen. God bless you, our brother. Love you, brother.
We love you, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming this service, we pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks as well. I believe Brother Terry Horn and Sister Horn, maybe they're in Ohio with their daughter. She was going to have surgery, I believe it was yesterday, maybe Monday or yesterday one. And so we certainly just continue to remember her in prayer that the Lord would be with her. Let's sing a song tonight. How great is your God? How great is he? You can't even describe it, can you? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. My soul.
happy day when Jesus walked. When Jesus walked. When my Jesus walked. He washed my sins away. Amen. Brother Andrew Glover is going to be speaking for us tonight, and all he does when he comes over here is blesses our socks off of us nearly. And we certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Brother, him and Brother Donnie will be coming out just any second now. While they're making their way out, let's sing some more of that song. It's a happy day in a sad world. Everybody's not happy. We have our gloom and doom, but our happiness outweighs our gloom and doom so much, our little problems ain't even worth talking about hardly. We've got them, but they ain't hardly worth mentioning. And most of the time we make them a whole lot bigger than what they are. And most of the time we worry about things we can't do nothing about nohow. Let's just have a happy day. Oh, happy day. Yes, happy day. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away.
Dark enough to do that right, but amen. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. What a wonderful privilege has been given to us again to gather here under the presence of Almighty God. If a king, the king of Sweden, or the king of Norway, or the prince of Britain, or some great personality would be here, it would come out in the paper tomorrow in Elizabeth and Johnson City. So-and-so visited Happy Valley Church. So-and-so came there. My, it would be all over the world. But you know what? A greater than all of them put together is gathered here tonight. Brother Bram Likens did Indoors and Door. He preached that a couple of times. And he said if Adolf Hitler would have come to one of his foot soldiers' doors whenever he was the great power of Germany, and he would have knocked on the door, and he said the wife would have went to the door and the soldier had been up late and he was exhausted. And said, wife, go see who it is. Tell him I'm busy. And she come back. It's the Fuhrer. It's the Fuhrer of Germany. He would jump up and get his clothes on and run to the door and come in, mighty Fuhrer. What do you want? Anything in my house you can have. Yeah, Brother Bram said every time Jesus comes, he comes to give us things. He comes to bring things to us. If he asks to take something away, he's got something better to give you back. The Lord does ask for things, that's right. But you know what? When he does, he always has something better that he wants to give back to us. I so appreciate his presence, don't you? Let's just open our hearts tonight. We'll just ask Brother Andrew if he'll come and just give us what the Lord's placed on his heart for the service tonight. We'll sing together, Amazing Grace. Amen. Now the Lord knows your need. He's the only one that can custom fit this message, this sermon, this service, to be able to fit everybody here. Plus, keep in mind, there's most of the time, there's many, many more people that stream in than what you see here. There's hundreds here when we have church, but hundreds times hundreds times hundreds many times that are streaming. How in the world can a preacher ever do that? He can't. Totally impossible. But the Lord can. So whatever you have need of, whether it's physical, spiritual, psychological, whatever it is, the Lord is able to be able to minister to you tonight. It may be a sentence, it may be two lines, it may be five words. But you know when he said it. You know when it's yours, don't you? Let's sing it together now. Just open our hearts. Amazing grace. Now let's sing it like we mean it. This big fella grow up from a little fella, not only physically, but we've seen him grow and what God has done for him in his ministry, and we so appreciate our brother Andrew, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Love him with all of our hearts. God bless you.
Christian, are you happy to still be on the firing line? In this dark hour when many people's quit, we're still here. By the grace of God, amen. You know, the devil might call us a lot of things, but there's one thing he can't call us, and that's a loser. Because we're winners tonight. By his grace, amen. Something keeps holding us. Why? We don't know, but it's the grace of God, amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Have a need upon your heart tonight, just make it known to the Lord. He's mindful. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we are so grateful that we can, Father, come in your presence tonight, Lord. And Lord, we come here on a midweek service, Lord. And Father, we've come, Lord, to refill in your presence, Lord, and to refuel, so to speak, Lord, and just to draw from you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we've no doubt faced many things this week, Lord, and this very day, Lord, and no doubt we'll face things tomorrow, Lord. But while we're in this house tonight, Lord, of refuge, Lord, may we just take this time tonight, God, and may we just push back everything that the world might try to put on our heart tonight, and the world might try to put on our mind of things we got to do, Lord, and may we just tap into the channel, Lord, of inspiration tonight, Lord, that something could be said, Lord. I pray you would move me aside tonight, God. Lord, may the people not see me, Lord, but may the people see you, I pray. Lord, I pray you would not only anoint me to preach, but Lord, may you anoint the people to pull and to receive also, Father. For Lord, we come here tonight, Lord, no doubt with many needs, Lord, but Lord, we're trusting you tonight, Lord, that when we walk out those doors, we will not be defeated, Lord, but we will receive something from your word and we'll be overcomers in this hour. Lord, I pray you bless every person, not God, that raised their hand. I pray the Spirit of God would meet that need, Lord. If there be anybody bound among us, I pray the Spirit of God set them free tonight. If there be anybody lost, I pray they be found, Lord. Just come tonight, Lord, and have your way among us. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. Strengthen our lives in your word, we pray. We just love and thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you richly tonight. If you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Job. Job chapter 2, we greet you tonight in the name of the Lord. Am I going to get this back?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Appreciate Brother Donnie tonight for inviting us this way, and certainly appreciate Brother Donnie's friendship and his stand on the word, and it's good to see everybody out tonight, and just trust, amen, we'll not be too long. I know we've got the Bible school tonight, but we don't want to rush the Lord, and just trust that something will be a blessing to you tonight. Job chapter 2, verse 7. Job chapter 2, verse 7. Bible says, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And he sat down among the ashes. May God add the blessed reading of his word as you're seated tonight. You love him tonight?
Yeah.
From those scriptures, I'd like to speak tonight on an ash heap experience. An ash heap experience. You love him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I believe tonight that in our scripture reading, we've read about, amen, a mighty man called Job. Amen. And I believe that Job was a man of God. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
And I believe that as we, I want to say this tonight, maybe if we could take something out of that little thought, I would pull something out and title it The Channel of Inspiration. the channel of inspiration. And I believe that the message of the hour has opened up all the right channels to the bride. I don't believe that we've got any channels tonight that are clogged because we've got a lack of a message. I believe this message has come in full power. And I believe it's come to do exactly what it said it would do, and that's to set the captive free. Amen. To see the sick healed, to see lives changed. Amen. I believe that's the promise of this message tonight. And I hear Brother Branham saying the testimony of a true witness. He says, and all his works are perfect. Do you realize tonight we're serving a perfect God? Our God is not imperfect tonight. He is perfect. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he don't change in his ways. So tonight we have a promise that a perfect God is going to meet us tonight. He says all his works are perfect. They're perfect and on time. Amen. He says they don't miss one hour. He said sometimes we think they're going to, but they don't. So this is telling us that many times circumstances and trials and tests will come, but there's one promise we have that no matter how many trials come, no matter how many tests come, no matter how many situations come, that God will show up. And that's a promise tonight. Amen. He says sometimes we think they're going to, but he says they don't. And he says after it's over, we've seen it couldn't have come any quicker. So we understand tonight that we're dealing with an enemy tonight, and that enemy is called Satan. And the enemy is always after us, and he's always trying to stop us. He's always trying to steal our victory and to steal our joy. And I just, if we could say something tonight, I just want to encourage you by the help of the Lord. He's always trying to push us down, but tonight we're not defeated children. We are overcomers tonight by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And sometimes he says we think that they're going to, that it's not going to work out, but God always shows up. I'm glad to know that God always shows up. No matter how dark it might be, no matter how many trials we might face, God will always show up. You say, Brother Andrew, it's so dark, I don't think you could ever come through the darkness. But if you could only been there that day at Jairus' house, amen, when it was so dark that Jairus's his child had died, amen. And can you imagine, I've said it like this before, can you imagine, amen, you know how when somebody dies that people bring food by the house, you know, and they'll drop stuff off and they'll come by and visit with the people. Can you imagine maybe in that day all the dust on that road, and maybe they couldn't see through the dust, but behind that dust there was a promise. Hallelujah. Behind that dust, there was a promise coming down that dusty road. And I don't know what circumstance you might be in tonight, but look through the dust tonight and realize there's a promise coming down the dusty road. He said, after it's over, we've seen it couldn't have come any quicker. It couldn't have been any better. It's perfect and on time. And he says, even in our day today, when we see these visions happen and of things taking place and they are foretold and we wonder when they'll be fulfilled. You see, so many things have happened, amen, that the prophet of God has spoke of that's being fulfilled right before our eyes. Amen. The world, they're, you know, to have a revelation on California going under, I don't have to see a movie. Amen. Because I've had a prophet of God tell me. Amen. I have a prophet of God telling me. Amen. 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 You hear things about things happening, and the prophet said it would be this way. The only thing they're doing is testifying about what a prophet already said. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know tonight that nothing takes God by surprise. Even in our day today, he says, when we see these visions happen and of things taking place and they are foretold, he says, and we wonder when they'll be fulfilled, what will take place. He said, but we find out that they are perfect and on time exactly. Amen. Amen. So these things are happening. But let me say this, while the world's falling apart, the bride's coming together. Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And he said, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now Job, Brother Branham says, Job was a prophet. Can you say amen? And Job was a man that lived before the Bible was even written, Brother Branham says. And he said, Job, he said, this great warrior and prophet. So notice, he says, this great warrior and prophet was a mighty man in his day. Job was the prophet of God for that time. Can you say amen? And when you thought of Job, you thought of the word of God. You thought of the power of God. You thought of what God was saying. Because Job was in that channel. Come on, somebody. And tonight, we receive things by being in the right channel. And the devil will try to shut the channel off. But the devil can't shut the channel off if the Holy Ghost is flowing through that channel. Amen.
Job, he says this great warrior and prophet was a mighty man in his day. No doubt that he had been brought up and had served the Lord all of his life. No doubt Job went to church. And no doubt Job heard the message of the hour. And it had so affected Job's life. Notice Job didn't just live a life before the people. Come on, somebody. But he lived a life before the people and before God. So his testimony matched everywhere he went. Amen. That ought to be our desire tonight, is that our testimony matches us everywhere we go. That somehow somebody is seeing Jesus Christ out of our life. He says no doubt that he had been brought up, and so the people knew who Job was. He says, and he had lived such a gallant life to the people. He had lived such a life of inspiration. He had lived such a life of encouragement before the people that everybody knew who Job was. And he said all the people had respects for Job. Amen. And Job, amen, Job only testified about what God told him. And in this hour, we've been commissioned to testify about what a message has already said. You see, this message tonight is liberty. This message tonight is victory. This message tonight is deliverance. You see, if the devil can just get your eyes off of the promise. Amen. If the devil can just get your eyes off the promise of God, he'll defeat us. But if we can keep our eyes on the promise. Amen. This isn't the hour to look down. But this is the hour to look up. Because our redemption is drawing nigh. When in the time did everything begin to go wrong was when the time of the promise was drawing nigh. Amen. So Job had this life before God. And Job, the Bible says that Job had 7 sons. He had 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen. Had 500 she-asses. A very great household. So this man was comfortable. Are you with me? He was comfortable. Now he had not got to the point that he was built up in this, but he was comfortable with what God had blessed him. But remember this, God will never let our earthly possessions take place of him. Amen. God will never let things that can ground us on this earth take place of him. Because you see that we are an eternal possession. Amen. We are an eternal possession, and that is the possession of Christ. Because he placed the gene seed inside of our soul. And something's making contact with that seed. What's happening here tonight? Amen. Rapturing faith is being built up in believers. Because something is striking. Hallelujah. Something is striking our soul tonight. Now Brother Branham says in a message, Job. He said, Job back there, I like to think of him. He lived back even before there was ever order, only in Eden. Now think about this. Job couldn't sit down and read a Bible. He didn't have one. He couldn't sit down and read these things. He didn't have message books. But he had a direct communication. He had a direct channel from the throne of God. Brother David, and God spoke direct to him. Let me say this tonight. We'll sit there and fold our arms and say, well, that's good for Job. But if you could only catch the revelation tonight that you have a direct channel. You have a direct hookup line in the presence of God. And Satan don't want you to realize that. Because he knows if you get in touch with God, things is going to happen. He knows if you really get desperate for a revival. He knows if you really get on fire for God. And you're constantly in communion and fellowship with God. That something's going to happen. Brother Branham said, and I like Job. I just love to listen to him as he's talking. Brother Branham says he's a great man. A prince of the east. He'd go up to the east and notice the position this man had before the people. He would go up to the east and all the young princes would bow down to him. And he was a great man. Are you with me? Brother Benham said he loved the Lord and he feared the Lord. And one day Satan come up before God, before the sons of God, and God and said, have you considered my bride? Have you considered my servant Job? He is a just man. He is perfect. There's no one in the earth like Job. Have you considered him? Said, oh sure. Brother Adam said, Satan told the devil, oh sure, you're giving him everything he wants. Got him all hedged up. So the devil was doubting the testimony. And God said, I've got so much confidence in Job that I'm not going to stand here and vindicate his testimony. I'm going to let him vindicate it himself. Hallelujah. I'm going to let him vindicate it himself. Let me say this in this hour. We are the last church age. We are the final voice to the final age. And God is allowing us to vindicate ourselves by the word of the hour. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Andrew, so-and-so left the message, and I think I'll stand and argue with them. It ain't going to do no good. Live the message before them. Live the word before them. Then they can say, it wasn't the pastor telling me. It wasn't the deacon. It was them telling me. Said, oh, sure. You're giving him everything he wants. Got him all hedged up. And everything. Said, no wonder. Said, no wonder. Listen. Sure he can serve you. So it's easy to serve God when we're all hedged up. It's easy to serve God when we got everything coming our way. It's easy to serve God, amen, as Brother Bram talked about, when you're rubbing the calf the right way. But when you rub the calf the other way, there's a whole different story. But if you got the Holy Ghost, you can be rubbed this way and purr, and be rubbed this way and say amen. Hallelujah. Because there's something happening. There is a gene seed on the inside of us that's making contact with God. Said, no wonder. Said, sure he can serve you. Making plenty of money. Woo! Got plenty of cattle. Got everything in life. But God had so much confidence in Job. God said, devil, you ain't going to defeat my bride. You ain't going to defeat my servant. He is a perfect man. He loves God. He fears the Lord. He escheweth evil. That word escheweth means he shuns the very appearance of evil. Hallelujah. Said, sure, anybody can serve you like that. I mean, anybody can serve the Lord when there's a mighty revival. Anybody can serve the Lord when people's believing the message left and right. Because there's comfort, amen, in numbers. Come on, somebody. As long as there's a ton of people believing the message, we'll believe it. But when somebody starts leaving it, then it starts acting like Job. Amen. I done tore the mic up. Thank you, brother. Amen. Get rid of this thing.
So he had respect. Now notice, he said, oh sure, you're giving him everything. Everything he wants. Got him all hedged up and everything. Said, sure, anybody can serve you like that. Said, if you'll let me have him though. If you'll just let me have Happy Valley for one day. If you'll just let me have one young person out of that church up on the hillside. If you'll just let me have one person that says they would give their life for this message. If you'll just let me have one person, I'll show you. They ain't really got what you think they do. Said, I'll let you. He said, if you'll let me have him, I will make him curse you to your face. God said, I don't believe it. God looked at the world's greatest liar and confirmed he was a liar again. Hallelujah. He looked at the world's greatest liar and confirmed.
affirmed him to be a liar one more time. Well, if he did that with Job, I think he can do it with us. Said, I don't believe it. Brother Benham said, amen. He said, could he have that confidence in you and I tonight? Job chapter 1 verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. So everything's comfortable for Brother Job. Nobody's causing trouble. Everything's just going well. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So here's Job in his comfort zone. I mean, here's Job, and he don't, oh, come on somebody. He's happy. I mean, he's got everything right there. But remember, God don't lie. And God told the devil, I don't believe you. And there came a messenger. So notice, now the messenger's coming and saying, and Job, this has happened and that's happened. Have you ever been there? And he says in verse 16, while this first messenger was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So can you imagine Job takes that first message and he hears it. And he says, well, you know what? We're still going to praise the Lord. We're still going to serve God. We're still going to live this life. We're still going to stand for this truth. But while that messenger was speaking, can you imagine? Here comes another. Be quiet, I got something to say. While he was yet speaking, verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. So now he's got three messengers before him. And said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. Are you with me? And they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. So can you imagine Job's shout? And Job's praise and Job's joy. It's running a little bit low right now. Now notice the reaction to the action. Notice the reaction to the action. Listen. Now Job hears all this bad news. Your kids are dead. Your oxen are dead. All this has happened, Job. And notice his reaction. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell on up on the ground and worshiped. He stands up and he rents his mantle and he shaves his head and he fell down up on the ground, and he didn't say he pouted, but he worshiped. Hallelujah. There was something on the inside of Job. There was that seed of God inside of Job that said, oh, hallelujah. He was a worshiper. You ought to tell the devil tonight, send trouble my way, send trials my way, send tests my way. I am a worshiper. There's something about a worshiper that the devil can't stand. It gives him a headache. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Benham says an adoption, but oh, Job, what did he do? Did he cuss God when God took his children? when he'd done all these evil things to him and everything, Job didn't question. He fell on his face and worshiped. There was something about that part of God that Job so possessed, Brother Donnie, that he could say, I'm going to worship God in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my test. Come on, somebody. In the midst of my sickness, I refuse to stop worshiping God. I believe in worshiping God. Can you imagine? They looked at Job and said, Job, are you going to church tomorrow night? Job said, I was already thinking about what we was going to preach on tomorrow night. So the people around Job are wondering, Job, now let's see this man's reaction. Notice he says, Lord, gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you are. He said, God knowed his trust in Job. God knowed how much he could trust you. I have heard, but now I see. Brother Branham said, Job, with his perfect revelation of God. This was not an intellectual conception. This was not a head knowledge. This was not something his mom had taught him. This was something that had been placed there by God. Let me say this tonight. We're still believing this message and serving God because it's not something that was taught us. It is a direct revelation from God. It is a seed of God that he placed there. You say, I don't know how much I believe in that, Brother Andrew. Well, let me tell you what Brother Branham said. I was listening to Leadership 1965 the other day. Brother Branham makes a statement. I've just been studying a little bit on Lot and how Brother Branham said Lot made that choice to go down to Sodom. And Brother Branham is preaching on Moses, and he comes to Moses and he said, Moses, he said he was a man of God. He said Moses was taken out and was shown all the treasures of the world. And was shown all, Brother Jackie, he could be in Egypt. Brother Branham said they could fall down and worship him. Said he had all he ever wanted was right there at his fingertips. And Brother Branham said, I was driving down the interstate and I just about had a revival in my car. Brother Branham said, but that predestinated seed of God went to work. Glory to God. But that predestinated seed of God went to work. I don't know about you, friends, but I am so glad when the devil offered me this and the devil offered you that and the devil said do this and the devil said do that. That predestinated seed of God, it went to work inside my soul. It went to work. It said no, devil. Lot could stand there all day and look at Sodom and enjoy it. But Moses said no. I'll suffer the pressure. I'll suffer the persecution. Hallelujah. Notice Job with this perfect revelation of God and who God was and how God loved him. He waited. No matter what the circumstances was, he waited for his faith, hallelujah, to be confirmed because he had a grip on God. Hallelujah. Job had a grip on God. I ask you tonight, have you got a grip on God? Brother Branham said this grip on God was a revelation. Amen. Job chapter 32 verse 8. The Bible says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So there is a holy God on the inside of us that ought to inspire us. There is a spirit in man that ought to inspire us. Now you know tonight that inspiration works many different ways. Are you with me? There's positive inspiration and there's negative inspiration. And the positive inspiration, I can say, comes from God. and comes from a message of the hour. But the negative inspiration comes in and it'll take hold. Woo! It'll take hold. And it's not the positive inspiration that'll prepare us for a rapture. It's the negative inspiration that'll take us away from rapture. It's when the devil... Now notice, God inspires, but Satan also inspires. Satan will come by and say, you're not seed. You're not elect of God. You're not chosen. Why are you even going to church tonight? Why are you even saying amen? I'm waiting on you outside the door. And that's the devil trying, Brother Donnie, trying to inspire. But God is standing right there. And God is saying, if you weren't seed, then why have you still got a desire to serve Him? Come on, somebody. The God is standing out there and saying, if I didn't choose you, Brother Gene, if I didn't call you, Brother Sister, if I didn't elect you, why are you still got a desire to be here? Sometimes we ought to stand up and tell the devil, I've still got my desire. I've still got my seed. You ain't got a seed, but I've got one. You ain't got the Holy Ghost, but I've got one. You ain't got the victory, but I've got it. You ain't got joy, but I've got it. Because there is a spirit inside man. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Y'all can just sit there. I've been known to shout by myself. Amen. Woo! I think that inspiration's turning right now. Amen. Inspiration will do something to you. It'll make you say amen. It'll make you look that long-tongued lying devil in the face and say, you're under my feet. When you see something in this word and you see it a revelation for yourself, the devil better get out of your way. Inspiration is a paradox, Brother Branham says. See, you just can't catch it. But it's inspired. And God moves right into its place just at the hour when you think not. When we have services, we'll pray and say, Lord, we invite you. You're welcome. Come on in. Do what you want to. Now let's top that with the natural. What if you invited somebody over to your house and you said, be here at 7 o'clock. You invited them. You told them what time to be there. But they showed up at 7:15 and they knock on the door. You go to the door. Hello. Hey, I'm here. Oh, sorry. Come back another time. They didn't show up when you thought they'd be there, but they showed up. And how many times do we invite God? Come on, friends. Do we invite God and say, Lord, come. And God in His great thinking and God in His great mind knows that right time to pass by your way and knows the right time to pass by your way and knows the right time to speak to your heart. And because He don't come when we want Him to, we'll throw our arms and say, I'm out of here. But if He shows up at 7 o'clock, we ought to be happy. If He shows up at 7:30, we ought to be happy. We ought to be thankful that that same God will drop right down in the building tonight and inspire us. It'll inspire us. Amen. Now we all get inspired sometimes and say the wrong thing. I did it the other day. I was over in Buff City area and there was a car lot over there. And they had this pickup truck sitting out there. It was nice. It was really nice. And I drove by there and I looked and I thought, my, that's a nice truck. And I thought, well, I'll go in and see how much he's got on it. Well, on my way in, there was another old truck sitting over next to the building in the line with the cars that were for sale. And it had chip paint on it. It had dents. It looked terrible. And I thought, well, I might see if he's too high on that one. If he's a little cheaper on that one. So I went in. I said, how you doing? He said, good. I own this place. We talked a minute. I said, how much you got on that truck out there? He told me. I about fainted. And I thought, well, I'm going to plan B now.
So I said, well, what about that old pickup, beat up truck over there on the corner? How much you got on it? He said, it's my truck. I got inspired. Come on, somebody. I saw something that inspired me. Come on, friends. And the devil will always do that. He'll put something in front of us to inspire us. And we will come under the influence of what's inspiring us. If a boy can turn on a rock and roll tape and hear somebody beating the life out of a guitar and put them big things in their ear and then wear chains on their clothes and just dress just gothic almost, they're inspired by that. They're taking on what they're hearing. And I think if they can do that about rock and roll, I think that same spirit of inspiration ought to drop down on us when we hear, sirs, is this the end time? When we hear Ensign, when we hear why we're not a denomination, we are coming under the influence. We are being inspired by what we are hearing. It's not inspiring us for judgment, but it's inspiring us for rapture. We're getting ready for rapture. Oh, hallelujah. The devil might have knocked you down and you ain't got a bit of inspiration left in you. But get up, dust yourself off and say, devil, get out of my way. Amen. Brother Branham said, so everything God has spoken his word received into the right channel will materialize that word for whatever the promise behind it is. If you need healing tonight, the right channel open, healing coming down, let the word of God inspire you. Let that faith drop in there tonight and let it inspire something inside of you and you'll say, I'm healed. You'll say, I'm delivered. You'll say, I'm set free. Why? Because the channel of inspiration is open. I pray God never cut my inspiration off. I don't just want to get inspired to preach. I want to get inspired to live right. Inspired to do the right thing. Inspired to pray. Inspired to read my Bible. And Job, Brother Donnie Job, had that channel of inspiration. And it was a direct channel of communication. But now Job, this great man that he was. This great man that everybody come to receive wisdom from and to hear speak. Now, they're coming to see Job. And they're walking up there and they're thinking every time we see him, he's up in the pulpit tearing it up. He's telling us what God is speaking direct to him. I can't wait to hear it. But now they come see Job and he ain't standing up on the pulpit. He ain't out there speaking revelations. He's sitting on the ash heap. This great man. Are you with me? This great prophet of God. Come on, friends. He's now sitting on the ash heap. That word ash means worthlessness. He's now sitting on something that has absolutely no value. But there's still something inside of him. There's still something inside of him, Brother David. And it's not something he placed there. It was not something that those messengers could take out of him when they come and said, your cattle has died and your oxen is dead and your children are dead. It was a revelation of a predestinated seed. And we can shout about it tonight. Like Brother Branham said that time after I'd been so low. And he said, I lost my wife and I lost my daughter. And he said, I was out there walking around and said, that man said, Billy, that religion, you really held on to it. He said, no, my religion kept me. Oh, there was a seed of life inside of Job. Job couldn't hold on to it. He got so low he was sitting on the ash heap. But the Spirit of God rose up in Job. The mechanics were laying, waiting on the dynamics. Woo. Brother Branham said, I love this today. If you get time, go listen to the message, Job. February 23rd, 1955, I believe. Brother Branham begins to talk about Job and all that he lost. And Brother Branham said, Job, hallelujah. Brother Branham said, Job, when they were walking out of the garden that day, there was a shadow of redemption there.
They could just see the shadow of redemption. So Brother Branham said Job was such a man of God that he went and he pre-adventured and he offered a sacrifice for his kids. He said, Brother Branham said, Job didn't know if they had sinned or if they hadn't. But there was such a communion there that Job went and sacrificed a burnt offering. He sacrificed one for his sins. Job had everything in order. I mean, you didn't catch Job 5 weeks behind on reading his Bible. Amen. You didn't catch Job 5 weeks behind on listening to a tape. Job was right there. He was under the message of that day. Now notice, Brother Branham says the mechanics were laying. They were laying there and they were waiting on the dynamics to strike it. Oh, hallelujah. How can we expect the dynamics to strike us when we don't even have the mechanics in order? How can we cry and pray, Lord, send the dynamics and strike us when the mechanics aren't laying there in order, friends? I say, God, get the mechanics in order. Lord, help me get the mechanics in order. Friends, we don't have to offer a lamb. A lamb's been offered for us. All we've got to do is receive what we've been told by a vindicated prophet of God and get the mechanics in order. And then one of these mornings, God is going to, hallelujah, God is going to send those dynamics right down and strike those mechanics. Amen. Brother Bram says now, when you get the dynamics, you've been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the Word. The whole body comes subject to the Word. So it even brings you ears. You don't listen to what people are saying about the message, because your ears are only subject to the Word. You don't listen to rock and roll music because your ears is subject to the Word. We don't look at things we shouldn't be seeing. We don't partake of things of the world because something on the inside of us has quickened us. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham said that brought us subject to the Word. Brother Branham said it'll make you act different. Woo! It'll make you look different. It'll make you live different. He says it'll just make you different. Now Job knew. While it, remember friends, now I'm not going to have Job on the ash heap like Brother Bram did for 6 weeks. I've read that time after time this week. I remember said some sister came to me and said, when are you going to get Job off the ash heap? He said, I'm trying to get somewhere. Job's sitting on this ash heap. But inside of Job, there is a revelation that Satan can't take out of him. And that revelation strikes his heart. And he thinks, my God is a God of restoration. My God is a God of restoration. The God I serve will restore. Now notice, Brother Branham says, all that the winter's coldest of cold form of religion killed out there, the nearing of the Son of God in these last days coming to his church restores it back to life again. So when the presence of the Son of God comes into the church, it's doing more than just entertaining us. It's restoring us. It's reviving us. Brother Branham says, I will restore, saith the Lord. See, oh, I love this. See, God restores his flowers. Job sitting on that ash heap. Lord, is this my end? Am I, amen, a flower dies, but it comes back to life again. Man dies, will he live again? Brother Branham says, God restores his flowers, his leaves, his nature, his seed of the earth. And therefore we know then that God will also, I love this, we also know that God will restore his habitation. He don't dwell in this wood. He don't dwell in them pews. He dwells in the tabernacle of the heart of his people. Let me say this tonight, Brother David. If God will restore a flower, if God will restore a tree, Brother Donnie, if God will restore a leaf, if God will restore a tree, then he ought to restore us. And the promise of this message will restore us back. He is a God of restoration. Hallelujah. He is a God of restoration. He will restore everything that death killed. Devil, you think I'm done? The restorer just showed up. You think I'm laying here dying, devil? Oh no, the restorer just showed up. And he said, I restored those trees. I restored those flowers. I restored those leaves. I want to restore you. He wants to restore us back, not to where we just sit on the pew, but we got some life in us. We got a pulsation of revelation beating out of our heart. That's right. Now he says the only way you can ever remain dead. I love this. Now the only way it can ever remain dead is let it lay in the wrong place. Friends, when the devil's still in our joy and still in our victory and he drags us out to the wrong place, don't just sit there. Get up and say, I don't belong here. I belong there. I belong in the house of God. As long as I'm laying out here, I'm going to die right where I'm sitting. Come on, somebody. I'm going to die right where I'm sitting. Brother Bram says, but if it falls in the right place. If it falls, I'm getting ready close. If it falls in the right place, it's got to come back to life again. That seed did not fall on dead ground. It fell on, oh, hallelujah. It fell on fertile ground inside of Job. And Job said, I might be here and I don't have a revival, but the restorer is fixing to show up. The devil hates it when the restorer shows up because he restores you back to life. He restores you back to health. He restores you back to joy. He takes you out of the devil's hands and said, they don't belong to you. Brother Branham says, but if it falls in the right place, it's got to come back to life again. So God, let this be my prayer tonight, Lord. So God, let us fall in the right channel that's right for a restoration. Job, in this ash heap, Job didn't need emotion. Come back and say, come on, Job, praise the Lord. Do you feel like praising him? I'm an honest man. I don't feel like praising him. But there's something on the inside of me that's pushing me on. Job at his lowest point. Hallelujah. Job at his lowest point. Brother Bram said, Satan. Hallelujah. Satan getting all the people. So God inspires Job, and now Satan on the flip side goes to the same people that Job had inspired by the word of God. Oh, help us, Lord. And now he flips it, and the very ones that were saying amen to Brother Job are now coming and seeing Brother Job sit on the ash heap and saying, this man is a secret sinner. This man is full of sin. You imagine Job scratched his head and thought, are those the ones I just preached to a while ago? Huh. Because that part of Job, but Job had more than just friends. Let me tell you something, friends. Sometimes our friends will leave us sitting high and dry. They'll leave us sitting when you thought they'd be the one to encourage you. They'll be the one sitting there looking at you, laughing at you, saying, ha, 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 you're a secret sinner. But Job said, I don't need your friendship. I've got the friendship of God. And as long as I'm sitting on my ash heap, listen to me tonight, church. If you get nothing else out of what I say, write this down and put it on your refrigerator. The same God that speaks to you on the mountain is the same God that'll speak to you on the ash heap. The same God that'll speak to us on the mountain when we're on fire. The same God that'll drop gold nuggets to us is the same God when we're sitting on worthlessness and we're sitting on the ash heap and we're hurt and we're crying and our heart's breaking. He is the same God that'll speak to you on the ash heap. I thank God for it. All the so-called comforters, Brother Branham said, accused him, but didn't move him a bit. But one day, sitting out there at his lowest point, oh, hallelujah. Can imagine Job sitting out there. He's down. Imagine he's praying. Lord, help me. Help me to be strong, Lord. Help me to take this test. Help me, Lord. I need your strength. Brother Bam said in the church age book where Job said that God put strength in us. And Job's sitting there. Can you imagine he's having a little bit of a pity party maybe? Lord's forsaken me. No, he hadn't. I'm still alive. And he's just sitting there. And all of a sudden, in his dark trial, have you ever been there? All of a sudden, he's praying on that ash heap and something drops down. Brother Branham said inspiration struck him. Inspiration struck Job. And out of crying and tears and scraping bulls off of his body in a terrible condition, Brother Branham said Job jumps up. The lightning flashed, the thunder struck, and Job jumped up and said, I know. Job jumps up and says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Let me tell you, friends, Job had sat on the ash heap. Job, oh, friends, you go read the book of Job, you'll find out that God and Job had a real good conversation sitting on the ash heap. But when Job was done talking, Brother Greg, and when God was done talking to Job, God said, now is time for that seed inside of him to get a little bit of a recharge. And now it's time for me to send a direct revelation straight down the channel of inspiration and speak to Job. And something cried out of Job and said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Get out of my way, devil. I know I believe this message. I know it's revealed in my heart, Brother David. I know without a shadow of a doubt, my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, and then, at that time, inspiration struck him. That's when the lightning began to flash, the thunders began to roar. And that's when inspiration struck the prophet. I tell you right now, you ever get a chance to listen? If you hadn't listened to it in a while, go listen to it. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Brother Branham's preaching, and he's saying these things about the message, and he's saying this scripture is fulfilled, and this day this scripture is fulfilled. And all of a sudden, I love to hear it on tape. It just does something to me. Brother Branham screams out and says, on the Ohio River in 1933, when I was taking the 17th person down in baptism, listen, friends, inspiration to a prophet didn't stop at Job. It come right to our day. Inspiration of a prophet come right to this day. And a prophet stood up and said, on the Ohio River in 1933, he said, when I was taking the 17th person down, a voice spoke out and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. And a prophet of God screams out, this day. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. And you know what happened in the tabernacle? A roar broke out. Why? Because inspiration had struck a prophet of God for our day. Well, that same inspiration struck him one time, and he said, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus. That inspiration struck him one time, and he said, Congressman Upshaw, get up and walk. That inspiration struck him one time. It done something to him. Hallelujah. Let that same inspiration strike us right here tonight. If you're on the ash heap, if you're down, if you're discouraged, rise up off the ash heap. The inspiration of God has struck our heart. Let's stand our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Inspiration struck the prophet and he raised up. I bet you couldn't have found them accusers around when inspiration struck him. This man's down for the count. He's out. Imagine they'd talk to somebody and say, where are you going today? I'm going up to the ash heap.
What for? To see if this is Job's last day. Oh. They was getting ready for a funeral and God was getting ready for resurrection. Woo, glory. They were getting ready to bury a prophet of God. Let me let the devil know tonight. He thinks he's preaching this message funeral. He thinks he's burying us on the internet. He thinks he's burying us on websites. He ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. The inspiration is fixing to strike. And we'll cry the same thing. I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, I will come back for you. He said, I will rapture you. I will redeem you. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth tonight. Glory to God. He ain't buried this bride yet. He might have buried a bunch of unbelievers that didn't want to believe this message. He might have buried a bunch of backsliders, but he can't bury that true seed. Because no matter how far you push that seed in the ground, when the sun makes contact with that seed, when the water strikes that seed, something's going to come out of the ground. Glory to God. Sorry, devil. This ain't a funeral home. It's a rapture preparation tabernacle. Glory to God. You love him tonight. Woo. He ain't seen the end of us yet. He thinks that all these people laughing at us and all these people making fun of us is going to set us down. I heard Brother Donnie say something one time, it just struck my heart. He said, "Why people sitting around twiddling their thumbs, mine's going to be changed." I like that. Amen. It's time to rise up, friends. Let's get off the ash heap tonight. This message is of God. It's been vindicated in our heart. Thousands upon thousands of miracles. You see, when that real inspiration, I'm not talking about inspiration of emotion strikes you, but when that real inspiration of the Holy Ghost strikes you, it quenches a question in your mind missing the rapture. It'll quench it. It'll give you a revelation. I know without a shadow of a doubt, a rapture was made for me to make. And if the devil can blind you from seeing that you are a part of this rapture, if he can blind you from seeing you're a part of this message, you'll sit there robbed every service. But be like Job and say, I know, oh hallelujah, I know my God is a God of restoration. I know my God is a God of salvation. Let's say this tonight, friends. If you're bound in here tonight, he's still the God that can deliver you. Whatever sickness might be holding you, he's the same God that can set you free. Hallelujah. Be like Hattie right tonight and speak up. It ain't nothing but the truth. Job wasn't ashamed of it. Job loved his God more sitting on that ash heap, I believe, Brother David, than he did on the mountain. Because he said, I found my real friend that'll never forsake me. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. When you leave church tonight and the devil said, did you get anything? Say, yeah, I got off my ash heap. Glory to God. I saw who my Redeemer is and the devil can't talk me out of it. Hallelujah. Let that predestinated seed of God go to work tonight. Brother, I read today where Brother Branham said the devil will push you to the very end where you feel like he's fixing to push you over the edge. But the word in my Father sees the word inside of me standing right there at that edge and pulls me back. Something keeps holding me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight, dear God. Lord, your word is so true to our heart tonight, Father. Lord, it just stirs something up inside of us, Father, that makes us want to serve you, Lord. Lord, that spirit on the inside of us, Father, that spirit on the inside of a man, Lord, and the inspiration of the Almighty God, Lord, when they get together, Father, it does something to us, Lord. And Father, I pray tonight that somehow, some way through this message, Lord, you laid up on my heart, God, that somebody could see that, Lord, we don't have to stay on the ash heap, Father. It's not the end of our walk with you, Lord. It's not the end of our testimony. It's not the end of our victory, Lord. Lord, I heard the prophet of God say today that Job looked 4,000 years in time and seen the promise of the resurrection coming to man. And it quickened something inside of him, Lord. It didn't matter what happened then. If they packed him out to the graveyard on that resurrection morning, he'd get up. He had that revelation, Lord. Lord, I pray that same revelation could drop in our heart tonight, dear God. That, Lord, we also could see who we are in your word. We also could see, Lord, that many times things hit us off guard. They catch us off of our, off of our post of duty or maybe off of a position, Lord. And they kind of throw us a curveball. But, Lord, it's always so great when your spirit shows up, Lord. Just like you did for Job, Father. You'll pull through for your children, Lord. Lord, that seed you placed inside of us, Father, is predestinated to rapture. It's predestinated to overcome, Lord. God, I pray that seed be stirred up in every heart tonight, Lord. Lord, maybe we've quit listening to tapes because we're on the ash heap and our dreams are shattered and our ambitions and our goals and our passions and whatever we want to be and whatever we want to do, it just laying around this crash, Lord. It could be, Father, that we were getting too many worldly possessions between you and us, Father. And Lord, you took us there just to remind us that when we find out all we've got you, Lord, we found out we got all that we need. Though the world forsake us, though the world turn their back on us, whatever it may be, Lord, we will rapture out of here. We are predestinated to rapture. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands to him for a minute. I don't know where you're at tonight in your walk with the Lord, but Lord, I pray we have a conference with you tonight, dear God. Lord, I pray that same spirit, Lord, that struck Job that day would pass by Happy Valley tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray for every young person tonight, dear God. Lord, maybe they're sitting on the ash heap, Father, as the world throws so much at us, Lord. And Lord, maybe the devil's trying to take our view off the message and lead us over here and lead us over there. But Lord, I believe if we'll keep our eyes on you, you'll lead us right through, Father. Lord, I thank you that you speak on the mountain, God. I love to feel you when we're on the mountain, Lord. But it does so much to our souls, Lord, when you pass by that ash heap and speak to our hearts, Lord. And say, arise. Hallelujah. Arise, my little bride. Lord, you're the God of restoration tonight. Restore our joy, Father. Restore our peace, Lord. Lord, I know this ain't been no deep revelation. Lord, I thank you, God, for deep revelations. But Lord, I just thank you when you pass by our way and just remind us of what lays in our Bible, Lord, about a man just, Lord, a prophet of God, just like our prophet, Lord. But yet God so loved him that God placed that story right there, Father. So when we're going through our trials, we can look right back in Job and say, we will overcome, Lord. Yeah. Lord, you see my heart. I studied, tried to get away from it. But Lord, you kept leading me right back to it. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our heart tonight, God. Lord, I pray you just move among your children tonight, Lord. Lord, may we not just hear these things and silence them, Father, and say, oh, well, that was another service, and maybe I'll get something out of it someday. Lord, may we just treasure every golden nugget, Father. We might think right now we don't need it. We might think, why did I hear that tonight? But maybe a few days down the road, something will come up, and we'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking our heart. Thank you, Lord, for service after service after service after service, that the world says we're wasting our time. The world says we shouldn't be out and doing things in the world. But, Lord, we're here. We're preparing for rapture, Lord. Grant it tonight, dear God, I pray. How we love you tonight, Lord Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Do you love him tonight? Amen. God bless you richly, friends. When the devil comes at you, stand up. Say, you ain't preaching my funeral. You're going to witness me rapture. You're going to witness this person that makes mistakes every day, that fails God daily, that comes short of His glory every day, Brother Brett. You're going to witness somebody in Laodicea. Let's put hell on notice tonight. The devil's going to witness a young person raptured out of America. The devil's going to witness a young person that'll take a body change one day. He's going to witness soldiers that's been around the message for years. One day they're going to get under that inspiration of rapture, and it's going to strike our soul, and we're going to leave here. Satan, mark our word, you will see it. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We will come forth crying grace. Amen. God bless you, Richie, tonight. As Brother Donnie comes, if you need prayer, come, we'll pray for you. God bless you, friends. Brother Donnie.
Dave Swanson, maybe come and sing at your son for Sunday. Know my Redeemer live. With the children, you've got to pick them up about 9. It's about 8:35 right now, so if you need to go, certainly understand that. Wow. I wish I could preach like that. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I appreciate him not going another direction. I think that's what we needed. It's you. Amen. Let's sing it together as we go. Lord willing, we'll see you this weekend. We certainly appreciate Brother Andrew coming back tonight. Thank you, buddy. We love you in the Lord. Amen.
Yes, son. Oh, my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Creation testify, this life testify, let this light